were back like Aubameyang in the second half against Tottenham. Oh boy. How are we doing, boys? It's the Sandy and the Blowfish podcast, episode 15, question mark? How are we doing today?
Who knows how many we've done?
All of them great.
That sounds right, though.
All of them the best in all of Harrisonburg. All of them the best you've ever heard in your
entire
life.
Number one. We haven't told you guys in a while that we're still number one.
But you knew. You knew it in your hearts all
you
along.
You knew.
So, boys, NFL free agency has started.
Do you want to do NFL and then the madness that is March?
We'll get to March Madness at the end and all of our super informed takes.
That's right.
We'll get real hot and heavy. On this podcast, we'll talk about some NFL free agency. We're going to talk about the bubble that's happening. Going to make some NCAA picks for you. We're going to talk about the status of Joel Embiid and how that's going to shift the power in the East. But very first, it's the NFL. The NFL
period year
has opened up. Everybody's reportedly signing contracts, even though they legally can't sign them.
True.
Any huge moves that you guys have seen that you've liked? Anything you've seen that you haven't liked? What's your guys' take on early free agency so far?
I like the Tyrod to Houston move.
I love it.
I am a fan of the move of the Curtis Samuel move today.
Yeah.
To the Washington football team. That's a good move. I hate every single one of the Patriots moves. I hate them all.
Really?
I hate them all. That's not Patriots. That's not Bill Belichick.
Do you hate that Bill Belichick's like spending money or the content of the moves?
I hate that I'm going to know what receiver Cam Newton is throwing to now.
Do you think it's Cam Newton?
He's going to throw to two of them. He's going to throw to Jonnu and Hunter Henry, and that's it.
Listen, to save Cam Newton last year, the only player that they could have gotten to save that season is Derek Jeter, because every single ball was a skip in.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't throw it to a receiver. If he is your quarterback, Cam Newton, going forward, you don't have a chance to win. The fact that they won 7 games last year, I did not realize that they won that many. I had to look back. It's pretty incredible.
They were like 5-4.
Yeah, and then he got COVID. He got a little case of the COVID. I just think that this screams move up in the draft to me. It's screaming moving up for a quarterback.
A nice cozy landing spot for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to have all these new fun toys.
It could be Jimmy G. I think Jimmy G is likely on the move, but that he only gets moved if they think that they're getting one of the best quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson, which is highly questionable.
He did say today San Francisco and Denver are his preferred locations.
Yeah, he did.
He did say those words.
Didn't say Carolina. I feel like maybe he misspoke.
I love the Tyrod Taylor move because everybody knows Deshaun Watson is not going to be there at the beginning of the year. And at the beginning of the season, let us not forget that Tyrod Taylor was starting over Herbert. They knew what they had with Herbert in camp, and they still chose to go with Tyrod Taylor. He is a good quarterback. Tangent. Should never have to start another game again, because the fact that he got stabbed by his team doctor, causing him to puncture a lung, forcing him to miss the first month of the NFL season. I don't know why he hasn't filed a malpractice suit against that guy and is even more uber rich than I'm sure he already is.
Wasn't it just a physical exam?
He was getting an injection of some sort.
Cortisone shot.
Yeah, and he stabbed him in the chest and punctured his lung.
The lung.
Insanity. I mean, good. If the Chargers paid him off because they're like, man, we really want to start Herbert. I get it, but man, I really love the move.
Just forget about Tyrod Taylor. You know, he's the sort of quarterback that I think I glossed over in terms of like maybe if you don't want to make a big splash in terms of a quarterback, that team like Washington could have been.
Washington
got
their quarterback.
Fitzmagic.
They got their quarterback.
Yeah, and I wanted him in Charlotte because he's phenomenal. But I guess we'll just keep waiting for Charlotte. But Fitzmagic to Curtis Samuel, who's fast, to Terry McLaurin, who's fast in a run game, they're not going to be the most overpowering team, but they'll be at least fun to watch.
Oh, I love the Washington football team right now. Everyone's going to be on the Cowboys because Dak just resigned, but, man, their defense – and they have a solid run game, and McLaurin and Curtis Samuel are a legit duo.
I mean, it was shown in the NFC last year that the wild card spots are going to be more than up for grabs, especially with a worse or not San Francisco, New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
That's going to be up for grabs, and especially when you have Fitzmagic at the helm, you never know what's going to walk through those doors. I love the move.
He plays really good. They named the team after him.
Really?
The Tigers, they named the team after
him. Ooh, that'd be big. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a great move for them. Good young defense. They're getting skill players around them to go alongside Terry McLaurin, who broke out last year. I could really see that as they were frisky in the wild card round against Tampa Bay, and I think they could be frisky again this year.
I think the receiver I was looking at wasn't Curtis, because I thought with Terry they already have speed. I thought they would have made more of a bit of Kenny Galladay for mm-hmm. a little bit more size. But I guess if they want to go play fast, play quick.
Well, they're not letting Kenny out of New York. Fast guys. New York is holding Kenny. They're like
he's meeting with the team, I think, in a couple days.
Yeah, the wide receiver market is interesting to me because there's a lot of good quality wide receiver twos. So mm-hmm. there's not going to be a big, you know, there's no DeAndre Hopkins this free agency. There's no big guy that's going to be paid a lot. So I'm interested to see. And the fact that the problem is Nelson Aguilar got his, like, two-year, $32 million something deal. And I'm like, you can't pay this guy $13 million a year to.
I'm no salary cap expert, but the salary cap this year is so weird. Like, the way that they're structuring all these contracts, like, I'm sure everybody heard the headline about Taysom Hill getting, what, $140 million?
Yes.
In real life, he's probably only going to collect about $16 million of that.
Yeah, it's all backloaded.
Yeah, in years that they can just void. Mm-hmm. They can just void the contract. And I think that kind of is making a mockery out of the salary cap. And if teams in the NBA and, like, any other sport that they have salary caps can figure out, oh, we can just manipulate this in so many different ways and just make it so the salary cap means nothing like it does right now in the NFL.
Do you think it's unfair to the players? Do you think it's unfair to Taysom that he's signing a $140 million deal but getting 16 and then getting voided?
Dave, do you have any takes on that?
On Taysom's contract?
Or just like in general, fairness to the players?
Fairness to the players that...
There's a lot of power there. They're the ones signing the contract.
Yeah.
I think they both, both the players and the teams currently know that in about 3 to 5 years, a lot of the TV rights are going to be up. So they're going to get a ton of money from that. And also, once they don't have to worry about the COVID spike of loss of $10 million like they had to worry about this year, being able to restructure those contracts and go back into the market is going to be worth a lot for them. So I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but even still, like, everybody had to know as soon as you see the Taysom Hill $140 million contract, like, that's going to blow up, and everybody's going to be like, whoa, 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 what the hell is happening here?
And maybe when that does inevitably blow up and that's the first, like, big example, then it'll be another look. More teams and players are going to be more aware of their contracts, but I think it's like a lot of things you see with no trade clause really making their way into the NFL and giving power back to the players. I think there's a lot of give and take.
Do you want to know my sneaky best move?
Yeah.
I think it's Jacoby Brissett to the Dolphins. Because I think that is setting them up. I love Jacoby Brissett. I think it was very telling, though, when the Colts went in and they signed Rivers over him, that they didn't think that he was going to be an elite-type player. But I think that he is more than serviceable as a starting quarterback, and I think that opens the door to a Tua move. I really do. I think that made the Tua move seem a lot more reasonable, and they won't be looking for a quarterback necessarily to replace him if they just wanted to go for young defensive players.
Well, I think right now Jacoby's better than Tua.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd start over him anyway.
Yeah.
My issue with Jacoby is I would have liked to see him more. I mean, he would come on the field on, what, third and shorts, just so you can be like, well, maybe he'll run it. I thought, and maybe it goes because the Colts had higher aspirations at the end of the year than maybe they did at the beginning. I thought we were going to see more of a split where Phillip was going to go in and then maybe they start handing the reins.
Not just on Hail Mary plays.
Just on the off chance, maybe he's the guy.
Yeah. I think they made that move specifically because they thought he wasn't the guy. I don't know. A move for Tua, I hate to bring it up right now, but maybe to, like, Chicago, where a team that has a lot of young defensive talent that they would be willing to move for a potential franchise guy. And maybe they
the
think
Dolphins
that...
just moved Wake, right?
Yes, and they also...
Not Wake, it was some other person, some other young...
They just got... Yeah, but they got the All-Pro from the Texans.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if he's necessarily a win-now quarterback, but I think he is definitely serviceable and has the chance, especially with a good young defense, to be a solid starting quarterback. That gives him consistency.
As a fan of Chicago, are you ready to go through another year of a quarterback who needs to take a step to be, you know, the defense is there. I think we can all agree you guys have such a great defense. Are you willing as a fan to go through another year of watching a team going, if only the quarterback was worked out?
If it was Tua, I'd be completely fine with it. If there okay. was Tua Tagovailoa,
Andy
would...
Dalton?
Yeah, what about Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton.
The savior of Chicago.
What about thoughts on Andy Dalton?
I went over his stats. Uh-huh. Andy Dalton is, technically speaking, based on yards, touchdowns, playoff appearances, best quarterback in the Chicago Bears history. He really is.
He's a...
What about Pro Bowls?
He's gone to Pro Bowl.
He's gone to Pro Bowl.
He's gone to like four.
Yeah.
That's why it's like everybody.
He's made the playoffs.
I don't want to be like. I've already said I don't want to watch the Chicago Bears, and I probably will not follow them that very closely if Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback because I don't want to get my hopes
dumb.
Up.
I could give him a chance.
I saw what I needed to see last year. Like, what's the point?
I think the Bears are a better team than the Cowboys team.
I think they are. I just don't see how a team with a general manager and with a head coach who are like, all right, this is your last shot. This is the last shot and you're gone. And they bring in Andy Dalton. I don't buy it. There's got to be something else.
The history
would
of Bears
you have
moves.
Been more excited if it wasn't Andy and they splurged for Tyrod?
Jameis Winston is right there. Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston was right there. Do you know what? You say, here are the keys to the car. You're our starting quarterback. He goes to Chicago. He's not New Orleans Saints where, what, he's going to be splitting snaps with Taysom?
I don't think you believe that.
I mean, Drew and Taysom technically split, but Drew was...
Yeah, but Drew's gone now.
You're not going to have Taysom throw a football.
Taysom Hill is the gadget play all-star.
Yeah.
So that brings us back to the contract. Does the contract mean nothing? That they gave him because they also gave another backup size contract to Jameis and they made a long-term commitment to Taysom, technically speaking.
And
if
I think
you ignored
that's just
because
it's years of Sean Payton being like Taysom's my guy, and then you just gotta pay in, you gotta pay up. It's like, am I your guy?
Time to bite the bullet.
Yeah, it's like I keep calling him the guy because you know he can play tight end, but.
It's early in the offseason. I'm not going to try to rationalize this move thinking that Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback going into week one. And there's going to be a quarterback battle between him and Nick Foles.
No ink to paper yet.
That is technically true.
It could still fall out.
Maybe they read the papers.
Not too long ago, Chicago Bears put in a pretty decent deal, a 3-year, $45 million deal on a Mike Glennon. And then proceeded to trade up to the second overall pick
and draft Trubisky. That's fine. I didn't have a huge problem with that because it was like he's a transitional quarterback. Nobody thought that he was going to be a long-term superstar.
Could we be seeing something here with Andy?
Well, Andy only signed a 1-year, $10 million deal. I think that's basically for a veteran backup. That's veteran backup money.
Yeah,
but maybe that's a preemptive, maybe sort of with Tua, them thinking, we don't want Trubisky teaching this guy, and I don't think Nick Foles is an ideal backup to have because everybody wants him to play because he's fun. Give him Andy, maybe Tua with Andy.
Yeah.
Andy can just show him the ropes on how to go to the playoffs and lose.
Because then you bring, if you bring in a three-way trade potential, say the Texans don't think that Tua fits their timeline and or maybe they just don't think he's the guy. They trade Watson to Miami, and then you end up seeing Tua go to Chicago. Chicago throws in young talent. That's the only way that I see this making any type of sense.
How much young talent you have? I think you just have picks.
They have good defensive starters.
Here's my thing. If I'm Chicago, I wouldn't touch defense.
I mean, the only people who we've signed so far have been on defense.
I know, but still, I wouldn't touch it.
Yeah. I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
Once the Chicago talk started,
defensive players or guys from Temple.
The Raiders' moves have been.
You gave
Let's
up
get rid of our
lineup.
Offensive line and get a defensive line. And I'm like, we've had good depth on offensive line. Like there hasn't been when our backups. We only had our starters, our five starters on the field one game. It was the opening game, and we were still like one of the best offensive lines in the league. So I think Gruden's betting on the coaching staff and betting on the young talent we have on offensive line, and he's letting the starters go. And we're bringing in, we got Yannick Ngakoue, we got some defensive tackle
great
talent,
man.
Solomon Thomas, who could just need a
change of scenery.
Change of scenery, firmer number three overall
really
pick.
High.
Yeah, he was number three overall.
That's who I thought the Bears were going to pick instead
one year,
of Mitch
Trubisky. 1 year, $5 million. 1 year, $5 million on a former,
prove it deal. Prove
on a
it deal.
Former number three
deals.
Pick. I like it. I like the
you
moves we've made so far.
You gotta gamble if you're in Vegas, though. Gruden's playing the game; he's got to.
Real grinders out there.
I'm down for a defensive line. Over the. We are great at drafting linemen. That's one thing Gruden knows what to do.
Breaking news: you heard it here first on Sandy and the Blowfish podcast. Patrick Peterson agrees to 1 year, $10 million deal, the same as Andy Dalton, might I add, to sign with the Vikings.
Interesting. The Vikings' Daniel Hunter just requested a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave, last week I jokingly said Hassan Reddick was going to come to the Panthers, and he is.
He did.
He nailed it.
Formal Temple outside linebacker is coming to the Panthers.
Not a bad contract. We got him, and we got the linebacker from L.A.,
I'm disappointed
you need linebacker help.
Have any good quarterbacks down there in Temple?
Quarterbacks.
E.J. Walker, our backup.
Played at Temple?
He went to Temple.
God, y'all love Temple.
Hey, he's paying his respects. He knows where he comes from.
Pay his dues. The football powerhouse, which is Temple, is now in Carolina.
I'm disappointed we haven't been able to get any secondary help so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like they went by quick.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that the Patriots, after all these moves, do you think that they're the not the team to beat in the AFC East, but like, do you think they're back in at least wild card
they're
potential?
Better. Yeah, they're better.
Well, yeah, they couldn't get worse than last year.
I think it's on Cam now. Just if he can throw better. He's got legit weapons. They can run double tight ends, or they can have Jonnu just play slot, and you got Aguilar out to just run speed routes, and then you got the kid they had last year who played quarterback. Maybe he'll end up playing quarterback. That one receiver, I forget his name.
Jacoby Myers.
He might just step in at quarterback if Cam starts to suck again. But
I think with Cam at the helm, it's hard to decide. I don't think they're gonna make a push for the AFC East. If they have a quarterback that isn't Cam Newton, maybe the wild card talks are a little bit more dicey. I mean, love Cam. It's just I don't know if he's the guy that can lead these offensive forward games to win enough to become wild card, especially with how good the AFC is.
Okay, let me give you the pitch that all the Patriots fans are going to be giving this year during the offseason. We had a ton of guys sitting out because they didn't want to play during COVID. We had the most salary cap. And last year was definitely a lost year. We have a good draft pick. They'll be able to get, if not a quarterback, they'll be able to get at least a solid player there. Cam has an extra offseason to learn the offense. He's obviously going to be over COVID because that definitely had an effect on him. And we were 7-9 last year, even with a bad Cam Newton. I don't know. I could see myself being talked into the Patriots.
Oh, I think they're... With three wild card slots, there's really no team that's not like.
I mean, you can always get into the whole. I remember convincing myself a lot of times after a bad Cam Newton season just how great it can be. But Cam Newton also is always good for every other season.
It's true.
It's always every other. It's never back to back. He's 7-9, 14-2. Those are kind of the way he plays. So if it were to be a bounce back year, this would have to be it. given just the way his career has developed.
Yeah, I agree. Is there any other final comments, any final interesting free agency moves that y'all like to talk about before we move on?
AJ Green apparently going to Arizona.
I don't think that really matters that much.
I don't know how good he is anymore.
Is he taking over the Larry Fitzpatrick role?
Fitzgerald? I don't know.
Or, yeah, Fitzgerald.
Is Fitzgerald retired?
Yeah. Fitzgerald's still... he's still in the ether.
Then he'll play... No, I think it'll be Hopkins and Green outside, and Fitzgerald will play...
But Green doesn't fit in the... Unless they change the offense. That quick-hitting offense isn't going to work for him.
They could just use, a better coach, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Before we move on to some NBA talk, I'd like to first thank our sponsor for today's episode. You like listening to this podcast? Thank Ears. Ears helps you every single day hear things like this podcast, the number one in all of Harrisonburg and all of the JMU population. We'd like to thank Ears for providing us with six for this, our very own podcast. Do you guys want to talk about your own Ears experience?
Well, I've had these ears now for 21 years, and boy, I tell you, they don't miss a thing. I hear everything that comes in the way, comes on the wind. I can hear it all. I've thoroughly enjoyed these ears. I'd thank you, ears.
Thank you so much, ears.
I think I think out of the three of us, I've had ears the longest, been the longest owner of ears.
Those are the oldest model of ears.
Yeah, and I can tell you, wouldn't trade these bad boys in for anything.
That's right.
Number one when it comes to listening to stuff. Couldn't imagine life without them.
Guaranteed to last a lifetime.
If you have some, I would look into it.
Use our promo code EARS for 15% off when you talk to God.
use our promo code, what was that?
Thank you, Ears, for sponsoring today's episode. Hashtag ad.
Hashtag ad. And if anyone else is interested,
check out our website if you want to know more about Ears.
Yes.
We'll have a link in the podcast description.
If your ears are broken, you can get them replaced.
Yeah. Shout out Abigail from The Bachelor.
Yes.
All right, moving over to some NBA talk, boys. Joel Embiid's going to be out for the next couple weeks. I think that very much opens the door for a lot of teams in the East to make some moves, to get a little saucy. Do you think any teams are going to like kind of make a jump up? And who are you looking to impress you in the next few weeks out of the Eastern Conference?
Well, currently the 76ers are up 15 on the Bucks. So
it's pretty good.
No Joel, still up 15. Let's check to see if Giannis is even playing. Giannis is playing. Okay. So actually I'd be looking at the 76ers. See how good they are when Joel's not there. If they can, continue to win a reasonable amount of games. And I'm not just they don't have to beat everybody. But if they can continue to win at a proper pace, I think they'll be the favorites to contest the Brooklyn Nets. I'd say this is the time for the Bucks to jump up and try and reclaim their former glories. But otherwise, in the East, I think it's between those three teams. Otherwise, the rest of them, I mean, who knows what the Celtics are doing and the Knicks.
Apparently they're real.
The Knicks apparently are real, but
they've dropped a bunch here recently.
They have. Mm-hmm. They have.
I don't know. In the East, the two teams I think benefit the most from Joel's absence, I don't know if they play them, it would be Charlotte and Miami. I know Miami is finally healthy, and Charlotte can't play any team with a decent center. So those are games. I don't know if Charlotte plays them. I know those are the two teams that have been moving the most in terms of the East, but... Yeah, I think it comes down to the Celtics. I know Ben Simmons had a really bad third quarter last game, So some games I think he really thrives with being the main guy. In other games I feel like he's too eager to have it be somebody other than him. So it'd be nice to see maybe he takes that role and then Joel gets healthy. They can put him on a minute restriction and get ready for the playoffs. And if he's firing, Tobias stays hot, I think that's a team that could be interesting to play against Brooklyn.
I agree. I think this is time for Ben Simmons to come out on his own and say, hey, last year in the bubble, you didn't have me. I am not replaceable. You got swept out embarrassingly by the Celtics. You looked like Joel by himself, looked like nothing. I am not a person who should be in any trade talks. I should be the cornerstone of this team just as much as Joel. And I'm excited to see it. You know, whenever Embiid is out, that's when you see the best version of Ben Simmons. He already is putting up a great year defensively. He's putting up one of his best years offensively. And I think they're going to be just as good as they were before. I mean, I think they are a good enough team that even with a Joel absence, with probably the favorite to win the MVP before, I think they're still going to be right there competing with Milwaukee and with Brooklyn right there for the first seed. And I think that first seed's going to end up meaning a lot when fans finally come back, most likely for the playoffs.
One Eastern Conference team I got excited for this week because Caris LeVert is back.
Caris LeVert!
The Indiana Pacers. I think Caris LeVert was last year was a border all-star. Mm-hmm. Could have been considered a snub, maybe. Especially in the bubble. He showed off in the bubble. I love Caris LeVert. And I think he brings scoring to a team that desperately needs scoring. So, and the Pacers
needed him back bad. They were missing the
they're 10th right now. They're 3 games off the 8.
They lost basically 20 points a game in Oladipo, and they were never able to replace it, and they were definitely floundering because of it, and Caris will fit in very well. They kind of struggled back from the All-Star break, but I think that they will definitely impress in times to come. Now that Joel is out,
I think it also takes some pressure off of Brogdon because he got off really hot and has kind of cooled off. I think that would help him too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they have the steals leader right now. They have the block leader right now. They just need the scoring.
They got Sabonis. He's a beast.
He is.
I love that the steals leader is TJ McConnell.
It's the truth, man. I mean, I had to hear
steals per game and total steals.
I had to listen last year to, hey, Chris Dunn is the, he's like top 3 in steals, so he's like really good, isn't he? Get out of here. Get out of my face.
LaMelo is 4th.
Yeah, it's weird. He's in blocks, right? Isn't he like up there?
TJ McConnell.
Isn't LaMelo up there in blocks too?
Maybe for rookies.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Probably not anymore.
I mean, I'm probably thinking of another stupid player.
Did you see them do that pirouette and shoot a 3? I mean, how does he do that?
I mean, you're going to have to see it on SportsCenter 11 more times.
Can I share a grievance with you, Dave? The Hornets commentators are unbearable. They're unbearable.
Del Curry is the future.
They're unbearable. Like, Gordon Hayward dunked next to De'Aaron Fox last night.
I mean.
And it was like his balls were in his face. It was like he got destroyed. I was like, come on. Like, and then the pass to Scary Terry for a wide open 3. And it was like, dude, it was a good shot.
Eric Collins gets very excitable, but in his defense, we haven't been an exciting team in 25 years.
No, it's true, but it's like, come on, guys. Like,
I do think that there's moments to calm down. I think Gordon Hayward dunking late in the game is an exciting thing just in and of itself. But I do like that there is some sort of buzz around the show.
Oh, you!
No, don't get me wrong. I love a Gordon Hayward dunk. I wish he would do it more after his injury to prove everyone he could still do it. But
that scares me.
At Blake Griffin, why don't you dunk? But, I mean, it's just everything. It's like the LaMelo ball, instead of doing a pump fake, he did a spin move. And then just steadied himself and shot a 3. And it was like he did the greatest move.
Oh, my God, look at him!
And I just... It's the same thing when Zion does anything, and I'm just like,
Zion deserves it. Zion is beautiful. I love him so
much. Look, they're all great players. I'm happy for Charlotte, but guys, cool off. Cool off. The Wizards commentators are calling people overrated. I think that's funnier. I keep going at that.
See, I like the Bulls commentators a lot, and then when I listen to any other team, it's like, hey, you're not as mean to your own team as we are. We're so mean to ourselves all the time, and it's really good. Now that Joel is out, do you think it's Jokic's MVP to lose? Dave, Eric, anyone?
I think this will probably be, end up being a close, very close. I think Joel can still come back and he can still win the MVP. I think people are going to be like, LeBron should win the MVP. Some people now are like, Jimmy Butler should win MVP. And I'm like, that's crazy because he's averaging like 4 less points than LeBron and the same assists and rebound numbers. But, I mean, the Heat turnaround, very impressive.
Yeah, but everybody knew that they were a good team.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time.
Yeah, they were super unhealthy because of COVID. Everybody knew Jimmy Butler is a great player. I think...
Logan and I talked about this. We had this discussion the other day.
We did.
I think that Jokic should win it, but because it's going to be Jokic, LeBron will probably win it.
I think it's going to be LeBron, too. I think the narrative is going to be too strong on his side.
MVP?
Yeah.
Was it Dirk?
Did Dirk win MVP?
Dirk won MVP.
Steve Nash is Canadian.
Steve Nash is African.
he's
African-Canadian.
African-Canadian. But
yeah.
Has a European player ever won MVP?
African-born, yes, but I don't know European specifically. I think this leaves room for Luka, because I think Luka, if he continues putting up the numbers that he has been, which are just insane, people are going to have to even kind of start being like almost like the Russ Westbrook year, where it was like, okay, he's on a 45-win team, but the numbers that he are putting up night in, night out are insane. But Luka is kind of drawing from the same crowd as LeBron, and LeBron is not going, no chance.
I'm stupid. Giannis has 2.
Oh, yeah, he's from Greece.
He's from Greece.
Yeah.
Dirk has 1, and I guess Hakeem is technically, he's from Nigeria, but.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's LeBron's. I think they're going to give it to him. The narrative was already swinging that way, even when the numbers and the metrics didn't really point to him.
But don't worry. If LeBron wins, there will be an asterisk.
Do you think so?
Absolutely. Anything LeBron does is an asterisk. The first one in Cleveland, asterisk. The first one in Miami, asterisk.
The main thing I didn't like about LeBron was when he was like, oh, in the last 9 years, I probably should have won another, like, 2 or 3. Pretty much everybody except for Russ, it, like, was pretty much, like, that's the MVP.
Yeah.
And even that year, it wasn't LeBron who was number 2. It was Harden and it was Kawhi.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry's were
unanimous.
The first one and then basically unanimous in the other one. I don't know.
Giannis has 2.
Giannis has 2, but both of those weren't at nobody really, except for the second one. LeBron had a chance before.
Yeah, they were all, it was never, I would say.
None of the LeBron MVPs were really in doubt. We can go in depth into it if we want.
I just don't
want him to win the MVP, just so I don't want to hear him or hear the media talk for 8 months about like, oh, does this make him the GOAT now? And then Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman and everyone would go, yeah, but no, and no, but yeah. It's just a pointless debate.
The only thing, it doesn't matter how many more MVPs LeBron wins. It's going to come down to titles because that's what it always comes down to today.
Sidetrack a little bit.
Okay.
Can we bring up a Max Kellerman comment I heard this week?
Okay.
That Drew Brees is not an all-time great?
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, Max.
I think he should be in a tier below like the Peyton Mannings and the... in the Elways and the greats like that, because he's so many just straight up bad playoff losses.
Well,
here's
the thing. He has a Super Bowl.
I understand that.
And for me, if you have a Super Bowl and you're a quarterback, if you're a Super Bowl winning quarterback, you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Eli, congratulations. but to say Drew Brees is not an all-time great with all his passing records, and it's not his fault he played in the same era as Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
No, I agree. I think he should be in
that's
the comp.
Not, and
I,
Aaron Rodgers, it's not. To be 4 on the list with those 3 players ahead of me, I would still say he's an all-time great.
Yeah, I think he's an all-time great. I just don't think that he's at the same level as Tom Brady, as Peyton Manning,
other
quarterbacks.
What do we call that level then? If all-time great is not... That's all
tippity
time.
Top.
If that's
I
not
say,
top, what's the peak?
He reached 100% of his potential. And I think that there are quarterbacks out there, and I think Peyton Manning should get a ding on it too. Both of them, won probably way less Super Bowls than they could have, and he had the he had a great head coach that was behind. Yeah, and that's an argument.
Everyone could have won more.
I just think, like, if you go back even to the Super Bowl that he won, I mean, if they don't get that onside kick, they probably lose that game.
Well, then we could talk about the Minnesota Miracle. If
exactly
the cornerback decides,
you're talking about a lot of
not
bad
to turn
Saints
his head
playoff moments.
Yeah, there's so many bad
or
Saints
the
playoff
fact that the
moments.
Refs did not call pass interference after the Rams tackled Kamara.
Tommy Lee Lewis. No, it was Lewis.
It was Lewis. Yeah, Lewis.
It was some small guy.
I mean, you can't put that on Drew, and the fact that he retired and saved their team from hell, he's a hero. He came in and saved New Orleans after the after Katrina. How can he not be an all-time great?
I feel bad that this is a talking point the week he retired. Like that.
Yeah.
He's been so great to the league and so great to the city. And I mean, I've watched him beat Carolina numerous times. He's super, super good.
Maybe we're biased.
I don't know why we have to.
I'll just go ahead and say it.
That.
Good quarterback.
Maybe I'm biased because I never watched an Elway play. I never watched a Joe Montana play. But I mean, if Brady's the GOAT, do we have a GOAT tier? And there's
I mean,
of
quarterbacks in our lifetime, I'd say he's easily top five.
He's Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
But an all-time, and here's the thing about all-time greats, you got some guys from like the 50s who didn't even play quarterback. They were just running backs. Like, that's my thing about all-time. Don't tell me Unitas is an all-time great and not Drew Brees. Unitas number threw 4,000 yards.
I won't. I won't make that argument. I mean,
Max
you
Kellerman.
Won't get that argument here.
His Hall of Fame ring. Give it to Drew.
If you haven't played in the last 10 years,
he also
you got to re-earn
you
your
think
Hall
about
of Fame
how
ring.
He impacted the game. You think about how Drew impacted the game. Before him, how many other than Flutie, who was 6 foot or under?
Well, you got to also. It goes even deeper than that. If the Saints probably wouldn't be in New Orleans if he wasn't there. They were going to get moved out. I don't know.
Drew Brees, you're an all-time great in my book, buddy. Anyway.
We'd love to have you on the
We'd
podcast.
We'd love to have you on the podcast.
I know
you
listen.
Listen.
I know
you
listen.
He could do the blowfish now that he's free.
Yeah.
Just send us an
Whatever
email.
Whatever ESPN is paying you, we can't match it. But
send us a DM at Sandy Blowsfish. We know you yes. listen.
What I mean, what's his new... Is it NFL Network or ESPN or
he can do both.
Who no?
He'll get whatever
him,
job
he the deal.
I didn't see any
he
specific
had a,
deal.
Like pre-existing deal for when he
yeah,
retired.
Yeah, him and Greg Olson already have signed stuff before yeah. they retired.
It's a bag and a half.
Mm-hmm. But he can do both. He can do that at like nights, and we can work our schedule around him.
He can zoom in.
That's a sacrifice I'd be willing to make.
Yeah. Oh yeah, to have Drew on the pod.
I think Drew Brees will rightly go down as one of the he'll be in the conversation. I mean, he's one in what passing yards right now. He's one in touchdowns right now. Like he's all
GOAT,
the way up there.
All time great. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you got numbers like that, even when you are like say what you want, you can only be so
Does
good
he have
and
an
be
MVP?
That.
No.
Drew? No, he never won.
No.
But he has a Super Bowl.
He does have a Super Bowl.
And Matt
he
Ryan
does have a Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan does not.
No, he doesn't, but he's got the MVP.
He's got the MVP. Phillip has neither. Phillip,
no.
Not an all-time great.
He has so many kids.
And bolo ties.
All-time great kid haver, all-time great bolo tie wearer, all-time great trash talker. All-time great quarterback, not Phil.
Should he get into the Hall of Fame?
No.
Sure.
I already made my stance. Super Bowl or no Hall of Fame for quarterback.
Okay. So
they can have, I don't care.
Rex Grossman, not a Hall of Famer.
Sexy Rex T is not a Hall of Famer. Exception, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay. Dilfer?
Oh.
He won one, didn't he?
Did he win one?
Yeah, didn't he win one with Tampa?
Dilfer? Maybe.
I think he won one.
Oh, good for him.
Jimmy G? Backup quarterback on a Super Bowl winning team.
Yep. Brian Hoyer?
Starting quarterback, I guess.
Starting quarterback.
Brian Hoyer started.
Nick Foles, welcome to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my goodness.
You're going to be getting a knock, buddy. First ballot.
So, it's been a lot of fun talking about the NFL, but we've kept you guys all waiting.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to discuss our picks in March Madness.
That's right. First game.
Dave, Eric,
have
you guys watched a lot of college basketball?
Absolutely. Actually, I've watched two games. I watched Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, which I think Oklahoma State won.
Yeah.
And I think I watched an Illinois game.
But, I watched a few, but mostly Virginia Tech.
Dude, I watched this weekend, and let's just say in my bracket, Georgetown's going pretty far.
Hey,
their coach is pretty tall.
Do we want to do like a fresh bracket for this, or do we want to go on one we already made?
Let's just say, not even bracket, just like what upsets do you see happening in the first round? So any lower seed that you think could beat a higher seed. And I'll go number one. I think Creighton's losing in the first round. Creighton.
UCSB.
Looked awful. And I watched one UC Santa Barbara game. They won by like 40. It was against a team who didn't win a game. But they looked so good. Oh, my God. And
Santa
Creighton
Barbara, zero games against top 25 teams.
Yeah, you don't need those. Gonzaga probably has like two.
Gonzaga? No, I think they played a ridiculous amount. Four.
Gonzaga blew
they
out
played
UVA
four.
By like 25.
They're, okay. Gonzaga's undefeated.
Yeah.
We can talk about the Zags later.
Any big upsets that you see coming, Dave?
Georgetown over Colorado.
You think so? You think Georgetown's going?
Georgetown's hot and Colorado is meh.
I
think they got a nice little Pac-12 seed.
No, I agree. I have Georgetown going to the Sweet 16 just because Patrick Ewing is going to carry them. He's on his very broad, get kicked out of Madison Square Garden type shoulders. I see him going all the way.
While we're talking about teams going all the way, would you like to? I know they're not in the tournament, but I always like to mention it whenever we talk about March Madness. And do you have a team that's your Wofford for this year?
Oh, boy. Do you want to give the Wofford story, Dave?
It's you watched Wofford. They had the kid shooting lights out. Best in the country. And you were like, you know what? He's going to win this whole thing. And they were like a first-round exit or a second-round exit.
I think it was first game. First game, and he shot terribly. It was his worst shot.
He didn't hit a single three.
He didn't hit a single
three.
This was a bracket that we played in to win money.
Yeah.
And I zagged when everybody else zigged. And it did not work out for me.
If it would have hit, though, Logue, you would have been – making
dude,
so
they
much
had
money.
They had a cakewalk after that game. I stand behind that Wofford pick.
My big upset, and this is kind of my Wofford team, Winthrop over Purdue.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I got them going
Are
all
they the Hawks.
I got them all the way. I got them going all the way to Sweet 16.
Nice. That's pretty good.
I think they got a guy who's 6'9", 275 pounds. So that's like Zion built. and they're playing Purdue, who's like dropped. They've dropped a lot of bad games.
They have. I mean, I have only watched a certain amount of college basketball, so that you know you're getting the informed takes here.
That's right.
Illinois has the best player I've seen in all of college basketball this year.
Enormous center.
He's so big.
He's not even their best player because we watched that Illinois
the
game. The mask guy had hurt his face. He didn't play.
Yeah.
That guy is apparently crazy good. He's pulling up from deep. I got Illinois going deep in this tourney.
Yeah. Same. I have them going to Illinois are going to beat Oklahoma State because Cade Cunningham disappears. I don't dig Cade Cunningham.
You don't dig? I don't know. He's projected number one overall pick.
I know.
I've seen him play. I saw him play against Oklahoma.
Where he dropped 40. I watched the other game versus Oklahoma where he didn't score until the second half.
No, yeah, I watched that one too. I watched that one too. But to his credit, when they needed a bucket, he got two buckets. So,
funniest name in the tournament this year. Anybody? I'll go first. Oral Roberts. Roberts.
Yes.
Number one overall pick and best name.
Number two is Colgate. I want them to play each other.
Ooh, Oral Roberts versus Colgate. Ooh, that would be good. That would be good toothpaste.
Great
branding.
Yeah. Great branding.
I mean, we don't have to go through like the round of 16. Do you still want to go like our Elite Eight and up? So we
sure.
Just keep it simple.
Yeah, sure. We can do that.
Because I mean, the way how you get to the Elite Eight doesn't matter. You can have
Who
all the
cares?
Fun you want, but if you get the Elite Eight to the championship, right?
Okay.
You're in good shape.
Yeah, let's just say Gonzaga going to the Elite Eight.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree. In that same region, I have USC going.
I have Kansas.
Kansas, okay.
I also have Kansas.
Okay, I can dig that. They're going to be – it's USC versus Kansas, and that's going to be a big game.
I have USC losing early.
Oh, first before they even face Kansas? To Wichita State or Drake?
Yeah, I got the Shockers.
Go Shockers.
Go Shockers. I'm a Shockers guy.
Yeah, I love Wichita State.
I'll always go Shockers. Fred VanVleet's alma mater.
Yeah, these are informed takes. Okay, in the East region, who do you guys have coming out of it?
Michigan.
I have Texas coming out, but I think Michigan is going to be right there. I like Michigan a lot.
I have Michigan BYU.
I have Florida State Alabama.
Oh.
Ooh, okay.
Michigan, that Livers guy is hurt, and I don't care enough to do more research than that.
True.
I like Juwan Howard. And there's a lot of hype about him, but I like Shaka Smart even more.
No Chris Webber, though.
As a Virginia boy.
Neither of us are into Iowa. None of us are into Iowa.
No.
Which I think is fair because Iowa.
Well, Logan, do you want to talk about what we talked about the other night?
Yeah, Luke Garza's some trash.
Yeah, he is.
If any team selects Luke Garza above pick 35, I will personally buy the jersey and burn it.
Luke Garza is. He's the same as that Luke out of UNC.
He's just bad.
He's a pudgy tall white boy who knows how to do some post moves.
And then I see
Frank Kaminsky, a really great college player who won't do it in the NBA.
And then I see people like Jay Billis who are like, this is a game changer in the NBA. Like, he's going to be a guy. No. And I'm like, get the hell out of my face.
That
dude.
Illinois dude is Shaq 2.0.
Yeah. I love when they were doing the comparison of that kid from Illinois against Garza. Yeah. And it was just one is a specimen, and then the other is just fat and tall.
Yeah.
Luke Garza proved me wrong. I dare you.
Yeah, we're daring Luke Garza to prove us wrong.
Okay.
And if you do it, come on the show.
Yes, you're welcome on the show. We'll eat crow in front of you.
Who do you guys have in the Elite Eight coming out of the South region?
I have a Baylor-Arkansas match with Baylor winning.
Okay. Dave?
I have Ohio State beating Baylor.
I have Virginia Tech losing to Baylor.
Ooh.
Because
God, that would be special, wouldn't it?
I like the Hokies. I think they're a little frisky. I think that, I've seen half of a game that they played, and I was like, you know what? I can get behind this. Yeah.
Popcorn Mike's great, and he used to coach at Wofford. He coached Wofford that year.
He did, and that's a big reason behind it. They love the threes. Yeah. I don't like SEC basketball teams. I think they always underperform. I just don't think that they can ever reach their potential. I don't like Alabama. I don't love Arkansas. And that's just me. Maybe Ohio State, but I think Baylor is probably the sure thing to get out of that region. As sure as a sure thing in March Madness.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. What about the Midwest region?
I've got an Illinois-Houston matchup, and it's Houston.
Ooh, okay.
The defensive teams always do well in the tourney because they get the other team in foul trouble. They seem to get the other team in foul trouble, and I don't trust Illinois' free throw shooting.
Okay.
I have Illinois and Houston as well, but I have Illinois winning it. Those fighting in Illini, they can fight, and they will fight into the Final Four.
I have Illinois in a hard-fought match beating out Cleveland State, the 15th seed. I think they know how to raise them right. I know how they raise them well. I know they got a tough matchup. They're the 15th seed. But you know what? Miracles happen.
Yeah.
And every single year, you get multiple double-digit seeds who end up in the Sweet 16.
I know.
Why not us?
There's going to be a double-digit team that makes Sweet 16. I'm betting on Winthrop.
Winthrop!
Give me the 12 seed. It's their turn.
I like Winthrop. I think that's a funny enough name.
No one going with Loyola Chicago? They're a high seed this year. They're 8.
Yeah. They played Georgia Tech, though. I think Georgia Tech's hot.
Georgia Tech looked good.
Georgia Tech, yeah.
But they also got through on a COVID. They got a free COVID pass. I don't know. They got God on their side.
What region are they even in? Midwest?
Yeah, they're in the same region as Illinois. They got to face Illinois, I think, in the second round.
Funny.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm excited to put money on that.
Okay, yeah. So Cleveland State, if they're able to upset Houston, easy walk. Then they face either Rutgers or Clemson. And then after that, they're in the Sweet 16. Who are they going to face? San Diego State? Kawhi Leonard doesn't go there anymore. I don't care if they were almost undefeated last season. Get him out of my face. I don't care.
They could face West Virginia.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. Okay. Here's the thing about the 15s, the high-seeded teams. They're typically not the biggest teams. West Virginia lives and dies in the paint.
Yeah.
So if they see West Virginia, they're not. It's over.
Just shoot some threes and hope for the best. Yeah. Just learn from the modern NBA.
Your go-to thing with college basketball picks is whoever utilizes. That's why I'm shocked you're not more on Houston, because they're like the number two or number three scoring team.
Here's the thing. Shooting from three, as I've learned recently, it can go cold. Yeah. Ask Wofford. Ask the Houston Rockets in Game 7 against Golden State when they missed 28 straight threes. Yeah. They can miss. But when your team like Cleveland State, who's going off full heart, full meat, I don't think there's anything.
How do you put heart in stats?
How does heart affect shooting form?
It means that you're going to hit at least 45% of your threes.
Okay. You heard it here. Heart means 45% clip from three. Ridiculous stuff. I love it, though.
I mean, who
all right,
do you...
so.
Are we just going to go straight to winners now? Or do you want to talk about Final Four?
No, I'm going Final Four.
All right, Final Four. Let's slow it down. Okay, I was rushing us.
My Final Four is Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor, Houston.
Okay.
And here's the thing. I don't know how you can bet against the Zags. They have like four of their players are either first team or second team All-Americans. They got a seven-player rotation. It's like they're an NBA team playing in the NCAA.
Yeah.
So I got them beating Michigan. And then I got Baylor beating Houston.
Okay. Dave, what you got?
Gonzaga, Florida State, Baylor, Illinois. I, too, believe in the Zags. I've always believed in the Zags. Zags beat Florida State. Illinois beat Baylor. This is way further than I would have liked to put Baylor. But what are you going to do? Oh, no, I don't have Baylor. I have Ohio State. I don't know why it says Baylor.
Yeah. Okay.
Ohio State, Illinois. Big 10 rematch.
Okay. I have Texas going against Illinois in the Natty. I don't think I was on my right bracket before, but this is my official bracket.
What's your Final Four?
My official bracket, I have USC going against Texas, and then Texas Tech.
That's a 6-3 seed?
Yeah, 6-3.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one this year, boy. Buckle up. We're in the bubble. Ones. Anything can happen.
You're right.
And then Texas Tech going against Illinois, and I have Texas-Illinois in the finals.
Texas-Illinois in the final.
And I think it's going to be a good one.
All right. Lucas Oil Stadium, April 5th, championship game. Zags-Baylor. I got 89-81 Zags.
Undefeated season. Wow. Okay.
It's the bubble.
Anything can happen.
One seed versus one seed. First time since 2018. Hasn't been that long.
First time in 3 years. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Hasn't been that long.
That's a long time.
Skipping last year, too. So two ago.
Yeah.
I also have a battle of one seeds. And I, too, am also betting on the narrative. Go Zags. By 3, 75-72. It's a great moment for everybody. The title of the brackets, Go Zags again. Let's
bandwagon.
Go Zags.
Bandwagon.
Call us
Get
what you want.
Get off my bandwagon.
I can go back and
Dave
send
and
you
I
the
love
screenshots
Zags.
Of my
you
Go
guys,
Zags brackets.
We love
from years
Zags.
Ago.
I'm just saying, my hand's on the mic at this point. I'm grabbing it infectiously.
Yeah, no, now I'm doing it.
I've caught it.
It's a sight to see in the studio right now. Give me a 3 seed versus a 1 seed. Texas versus Illinois. My favorite coach, Shaka Smart, against the tall guy in Illinois. Yeah. And give me Illinois. Give me tall guy and mask guy.
The best part about our Illinois takes, we're going off one, like, 15-second highlight clip of the big guy dunking. And that's what we're riding on.
I don't know. I saw it. It was infectious. It did something
to
me. I felt something
highlights
in that
moment. Highlights will make you look good.
And you know what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That highlight tape was like, hey, you know what? Maybe it's good that Anthony Edwards is the number one overall pick. I'm okay with it. I know very rarely does the best player ever win. And I don't know if he's even the best player.
I don't know. I don't think he's considered the best player.
He's in my eyes.
But I think just because we watched his highlight tape, he's my favorite.
He's my favorite player.
Illinois's got my favorite player.
Is Patrick Ewing Jr. still at Georgetown?
I don't know.
Second favorite player. I'll go ahead and say it.
Also, we haven't even talked about the amount of middle part magic on Gonzaga is insane.
It's elite.
It's crazy.
How do you quantify heart? How do you quantify middle part magic?
I saw 35%. Middle part magic is more. It's more than the heart.
Is it middle part march or is this just how they?
This is going to be middle part march. It's gonna.
Do
we're gonna
rock
change
the middle
it.
Part for the championship, Eric.
Absolutely. Headbands, middle parts.
That's how we'll do
shooting sleeves.
The podcast after the championship game is we'll be in headbands and middle parts.
Yeah.
I have one rule.
No middle parts.
If your name is Gonzaga or Butler, you do not win the national championship.
Oh.
Boom! I said it.
Forever a middle part hater.
I'm sorry, Gordon Hayward. I'm sorry, Rui Hachimura.
The next Kawhi Leonard. Rui
the
Hachimura.
Next Kawhi Leonard. I don't believe. Make me
I
believe.
Can't wait for you to be rocking middle part magic here.
That's
in
right.
About a month.
Yep.
On the podcast for just Eric and I to see, but that'll be enough.
We'll put a pic on Twitter.
Okay, we'll put it on the Twitter. That's been a little dead. I'm sorry, boys. I'll start.
Drew Brees will grow his hair out. Maybe we can get Drew Brees to do it too.
Oh, I can't. Drew Brees with a middle part. No, I gotta see it.
Middle part magic,
I mean,
man.
Once he's on the podcast, I'm sure he'll buy in.
Do you think middle part magic would make you a better quarterback, or do you think that's only basketball?
I mean,
I think it would make you a worse quarterback because I think you would lose the support of your team.
Here's the thing.
You gotta hide in the helmet.
Yeah, the helmet doesn't show.
If Justin Herbert just rolls up week one, middle part.
Here's the thing. MVP. Any quarterback with hair can just easily make it a middle part. I mean, doesn't Trevor Lawrence rock middle part?
Technically.
Yeah.
He's a Gen Z.
It doesn't work as well with the helmet because you can't see it. If you are flaunting the middle part and wearing a headband.
Yeah, that's good.
Magic.
I don't know, boys. I don't know.
So we have Logan and Drew Brees rocking middle parts.
So recap: Blowfish have the Zags winning, and Logan has
Illinois.
Okay.
Texas, you know, I like Shaka Smart. He's been there before. He's been there before.
Yeah.
VCU. I'm a Virginia boy. I don't forget.
How can we forget? Anytime we meet someone from VCU, we're reminded.
We're just like, oh, hey.
Remember the time, Shaka?
Shaka. I don't know any other players, but, you know, Shaka Smart was there.
Yeah, because none of them went to play in the NBA.
No, they did not.
I'm sure some of them.
For a little while, but.
Eric, before we wrap this episode up, do you have any shout-outs? Any fun shout-outs that you have this week?
You see, I've been super busy this week. Some could say I was lost. So to exit this podcast, this year is brought to you by Maps.
Maps!
I've been making them all week in class, and God, do they just help you find where you need to go.
Maps are good.
Yeah, I'm more of an analog guy. I don't do GPS. I'd rather pull out the map and endanger myself on the road.
Earn
you know?
It. Read
really?
The drive. Earn that trip.
Would you map out the course before you go, or do you want to be like true dad and doing it as you go?
I'm doing like National Lampoon style, map over the wheel. Reading the map.
No, that's good.
Just reading the map. Middle part, reading the map.
Have you ever, Dave, used a map?
Like to get to I've looked through a map. Did we use a map when we were in New York? I think we briefly looked at one, but I don't think we used it.
No, we didn't. Blowfish in New York, no, coming soon.
I can't imagine I've ever like needed a map and then used it to its full extent.
Oh, I agree. Good on
underrated
you, maps.
Underrated. Dora's best friend.
Damn.
Over Boots?
Over Boots?
Yeah, but Boots can't read a map.
We should save the Dora's friendship ranking for another time.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, fine. Everyone, sneak preview. I got maps pretty high.
Lou Dort Pod and the Dora's Friends map rankings coming soon. Dave, any shout outs this week?
I can't think of anything that I'm too passionate about this week, so I'm gonna let maps just resonate for an extra couple of
let
seconds.
Let it eat.
I'll also donate the rest of my time to maps.
Okay, maps.
I think maps are deserving of it. Without maps, we would have never gone to GPS, you know?
That's right. It's just analog. It's like, you know, people want to be retro.
Yeah.
Pull out a map.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Good on you, maps.
Good on you.
And that's going to be...
sponsor a show.
Maybe. Keep an eye out for the maps podcast.
I'm pretty sure maps.com is actually a thing. So
oh, no.
We probably can't do that, but... maps themselves.
Good stuff. All right, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Sandy and the Blowfish Podcast. You can find us on Twitter @SandyBlowsFish. Get us out here with a song, Eric.